Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, a message from God's Word brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message in its entirety again, to download it, or to choose from a variety of other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, log on to WGCRpreaching.net.
Isaiah chapter number 42. Before I go there, I want to look briefly at chapter number 43, which is actually where the message will come from. I want to draw your attention to the first two words, "but now." And then we'll read a few verses. "But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life." He says it again, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west." We'll finish the sentence. "I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." We'll stop our reading there. I am a dispensationalist, but I'm not a hyper-dispensationalist. I am well aware of who the intended audience is of this passage, as you are and the vast majority of our listeners would be. But I refuse to take about 85% of my Bible away from the church. God preserved His Word and He gave it to us even unto this generation. And I'm going to lift truths out of this. My dad was a young Christian, still learning, still in training. And he said, "If I found a promise and I needed it, I just claimed it." He said, "I did that before anybody told me any better." So that's how I was brought up. And I understand that we have to rightly divide the Scripture. And that's my goal for this morning. The pastor said earlier, when you see the word "therefore," you better find out what it's there for. And I do that, and I do it with all of the conjunctions that I find, which makes it very hard for me to just preach from one brief passage of Scripture, because you're usually going to find a conjunction that links it to something before and or after. So look at verse 1 in chapter number 43, "but now." So I was drawn to verse number 2, as you probably already figured out. It's very common, very popular scripture that we like to read, study, and claim. When you pass through the waters and through the rivers and through the fire, we sing songs about it, we preach about it. But the Holy Spirit kept drawing me back to verse number 1, where He said, "but now." And I would be remiss to claim those promises of verse number 2 if I didn't look at verse number 1 and what came before it when He said, "but now." So very briefly, my message is going to come from 43, but I went back to 42, and I won't stay here but just a minute, but if you'll look in verses 1 through 4 of chapter number 42, you find a beautiful, rich prophecy of Christ. "Behold my servant whom I uphold, 2, he shall not cry nor lift up his voice to be heard. I didn't get to hear it, but I understand a couple years ago, Brother Ricky Lee preached an incredible message from the New Testament about the bruised reed. Verse number 3, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. It's obvious that these are prophetic verses talking about our Savior. So in verses 1 through 4, a rich prophecy of Christ. In verses 5 through 16, a remarkable description of his love for his people. And yes, the passage is talking about his chosen people, the nation of Israel, the seed of Abraham. But I'm glad that I've been grafted in. And I'm glad that I experienced those blessings as well. So you've got a remarkable, rich prophecy about Christ. You've got a description of his love for his people. Sadly, in verses 17 through 25, you have a realistic description of the consequences of sin. And as I was rereading the chapter last night in preparation for this message and this service, I came to understand that if I keep it in its context, those consequences of sin that are described in 17 through 25 in all likelihood are talking about those who in the future, even though it's happened up until now, in the future we know that the nations of the world are going to gather against Israel. And I would be quick to advise them not to do that. They are still the apple of his eye. They are still his chosen people. 17 through 25 tells us the consequences of sin. And I'm glad for my Savior. I'm glad for all of the prophecy that's in the Old Testament about him and how he fulfilled them so beautifully. I'm thankful for the blessings I enjoy as his children. I'm thankful that when judgment falls on those who are in sin, I'm going to escape that because of his mercy. I'm thankful for chapter number 42. And as rich as it is, I want to draw your attention now to those first two words in chapter 43. But now. And that's my message for this morning. And I don't anticipate being very long. But on March the 2nd, 2021, I want to say to you, but now. I'm thankful for what lies ahead, and I'm thankful for everything he's brought me through up until this point. But the truth of the matter is, I've got a now to live in. I preach way too personal. I told the church, I said, we'll always be small because I just preach to who's there. And I'm going to do that this morning. And I wouldn't embarrass anybody for anything. But Brother McBride, your family, when I was driving in, your family was singing, God wants to hear you sing. And I heard Sister McBride's voice break and singing about when suffering comes along and he still gives us songs. Let me tell you something. I'm thankful for what? I'm thankful for the millennial reign. I'm thankful for the rapture. I'm thankful for all of that. But I've got to live for Jesus in March 2nd, 2021. And I promise you, everybody in this room understands that better than we did on March 2nd of 2020. The but now of our lives were made clearer than they had ever been. So we had had it so good for so long that we assumed it would always be that way. Now, if I'm the only heathen in the crowd, you'll just have to forgive me. And I'm here to, I guess I'll confess my faults to you. We had had it so good for, I mean, church, economy, you name it. We had it so good for so long. God shook our world in a matter of about 3.5 days. Great, right after Sherathon, I remember one day there at the house, had the radio on, and every, I mean, top of the hour, bottom of the hour, just news report after news report after news report. I didn't know what we were facing, and I didn't know where it was going. A man out of our church had messaged me 10 days prior and said, Preacher, where do you think this is going? What do you think we need to do as a church? Call me fat, dumb, and happy if you want to. I said, don't worry about it. Come on. I said, somebody's trying to get some air time out of it and they're just maximizing it for them. That was 10 days prior. 10 days later, I signed up for Idiot of the Year. It went right over my head where we were. And so there we were. We found ourselves in mid-March and our world absolutely shaken. And so I think we understand it better than we did a year ago. But I'm telling you, if God shook our world a year ago, He can do it again. And I want to give us some truths on the but nows of our life. Would you look in verse number 2? Please keep in mind who He's writing to and preaching to and speaking to. Time out. Let me say this. For those of us in the majority of the crowd on a Tuesday morning at Share-a-thon in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina, you're Bible readers, you're Bible students, you listen to preaching, you're students of the Word, you're here on purpose. Sometimes we've read it so often, Brother Jones, we lapse into Bible mode and we forget that these are real people with real problems and a real preacher with a burden on his heart that he was delivering. And somebody was hearing this. And here's what he said, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." What do you think an Israelite thought of when they heard Isaiah say, "When thou passest through the waters"? Egypt, the Red Sea. 800 plus years later on the day of Pentecost and a little while later in Acts chapter 7 when the message was given, Stephen's defense, Jews are still talking about the day God parted the Red Sea. It was the red letter event of the Old Testament, whereas the resurrection of Jesus Christ is in the New. And when they said, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee." And the Israelites said, "I can see that. I can believe that." He did. Say what you want to about modern day Jews. They cherish their heritage. They cherish and they relish the blessings of God from the past. And the first thing I want to remind you of is waters of fear. Look in verse number 2. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." What word, what one word would you use to describe the Red Sea experience? And it would have to be fear. What has the enemy used in our individual hearts, our families, and our churches? I'll stop there. I won't go to nations and world economy. Just in our individual lives, our families, and our churches, what has the enemy used? Fear. Sometimes fear of a disease. I think more often than that, fear of the unknown. Wow, I didn't see this 2 weeks ago. I didn't see this 2 months ago. What's coming next? And then they start talking about mutations and altering the genes and the long-term effects for those who have had it. What is gripping our world today is fear. And I want to submit to you this morning and to those who might be listening or watching, God has never been bound by our fears. He conquers our fears. And He says over and over and over in His Word, "Fear not." More often than not, He says, "Fear not, for I am with thee." He doesn't say what's out here in front of you is not fear worthy. He's never said that, but He has said, "Fear not, for I am with thee." I want to submit to you this morning that when you face waters of fear, you have a God who told you in verse number 2 of Isaiah chapter number 43, "When thou passest through the waters." I'm going to get to that word "through" at the end of the message, so don't think I'm going to skip that. "When thou passest through the waters." I'm going to ask you before I move on this morning, what are you afraid of? What has the enemy reared up in your life that you're afraid of? I've pastored long enough to know that you can preach to people and they can be rejoicing. They can be full of joy, and it's real. It's not fake. It's not put on in one service. And in the matter of a few hours, everything turned, and they'll sit in front of you at the next message, the next service, and their heart is absolutely gripped by fear. You can get one phone call. You can get one text that'll rock your world. I'm a daddy, I'm a grandpa, I'm a pastor, I'm an uncle, I'm a brother, I'm a son. And Brother Robert, there's names and numbers that show up on my cell phone, and the first thing that grips me is just a little bit of fear. How's daddy? Somebody you love, no health issues that you know, a name come up, and you as a pastor have seen them struggling, or as we say, wobbling on the axle, and you saw them, you were preaching on Sunday, and something in the countenance wasn't just right. And Monday afternoon, your cell phone rings, and there's that name. You know what'll come? Fear. You with me? And all I have to give you is what Scripture said. He said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. And I don't know what else those Jews that heard him write that and say that, I don't know what else might have crossed their mind, but I promise you they remembered hearing from generation to generation to generation, we were so afraid, we were being chased by the enemy. We had left everything we knew, everything we had, everything as bad as it was, as we would say today, our normal. We were secure. We've studied human psychology enough to know that the Stockholm syndrome, you feed somebody long enough and they don't mind being your captive. You follow me? And those Jews, they said, we left everything we had, everything that was normal to us, and there we stood facing the Red Sea with the Egypt army behind us, and we were full of fear. One more time. I don't know who it's for. What are you fearing today? What are you fearing today? Would you at least... He may not choose to, but would you at least acknowledge the fact that he could, if he chose to, part those waters and go through them with you? I was listening yesterday, and Brother Barton was talking about how God does things other than Sherathon things during Sherathon. Calls men to preach. Sends families to a mission field, raises money for a project on the other side of the world. God may be dealing with somebody in this room or listening or watching about something, and the very thing, all that is standing between you and the other side is fear. And I want to ask you to let God part the waters of fear in your life. Would you look in the middle of verse number 2? Through the rivers. He didn't distinguish between pass through the waters and pass through the rivers. He didn't make those two separate things just to put words on a page. What river? You know which one. When he said, when you pass through the rivers, I'll be... What river did they think about? Jordan. Now, I studied it. If I'm wrong, somebody tell me after church. I didn't see fear. I know it was overflowing its banks. And I know it challenged them, but I'm not aware of any fear that was there. But let me tell you what it was. It was a river of faith. Waters of fear, rivers, Brother Coates, of faith. Am I all right to move off the platform, Brother Jones? Will that mess anything up on the sound or video? If God parted the Red Sea for you 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, 50 years ago, Brother Whittemore, he might have proved himself so many times with those big things that the next step for you is just taking a step in a river of faith. If there's fear there, I'm sincerely asking you, show it to me because I want to rightly divide the scripture. I'm not where he is. I'm not where my dad is. I mean, when you get to be 80, you're walking in some victory. I say it with respect. But he has proven himself so many times that many times now, Brother McBride, it's not so much fear as it is him stretching my faith. And I could break down with fear between here and the house in a little bit, but more often than not, what I find him doing these days is stretching my faith. And while he's given me some victories in that area of fear, he can prove himself to me in August and in September. He'll lay something on my heart for me or the church to do, Miss Christie. And I'm going, are you sure? Do y'all ever talk to God that way? I told the church Sunday, I said, I still ain't figured out that he doesn't need my help or my advice. Lord, I got an idea. My daddy thumped me so many times right by there. I've got a permanent indent. I've got an idea that I got a better way to do that. I started that when I was about 7. He never did break me of it. And now I'm telling God, here's an idea. And he's, no, I don't need your ideas. I just need you to step in the river, and it's not going to part until you take that first step. But here's what he said. He said, I'm going to conquer your fears. And he said, I'm going to strengthen your faith. They were not being chased. They were chased. Okay? They were leaving and somebody didn't want them to leave. You understand what I'm saying? And I know that he said, get out. But Pharaoh changed his mind real quick too. So they was being chased. They are being led to this river. This is so simple. It belongs in the junior boys Sunday school class. But I'm telling you something. If he led you to the river, he's going to lead you through it. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's if it's buy another station, if it's go to Bolivia. I don't care what it is. If he leads you to that river, he's going to lead you through it. I need to be reminded of that. He'll lead me to a river, Miss Bethany, and then say it's time to cross. And I'm like, are you sure? He's like, I'm the one who led you here. You didn't do this on your own. I led you here. And if I led you to it, I'm going to lead you through it. Boys, learn it now. You got a lot of good examples. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? I sure hope he does. I want him to find me faithful. I can't go back to Charles Haddon Spurgeon's day. No, but I can live for the Lord in 2021. When Brother Robbie was telling about that deacon's meeting at Tabernacle and them taking on missionaries and doubling up on missionaries, I was driving. That is dangerous. I was driving. I said, take that, devil. I did. I said, take that, devil. I don't know how God increased missions giving in 2020, but he did. We don't support that. I don't have to explain any numbers to you. Well, it's not apples to apples. But I'm not doing what Tabernacle's doing. God hadn't called me to pastor Tabernacle. Progress Baptist Church gave more to missions in 2020 than it ever has before. God did that. God did that. When he brings you to a river, he'll lead you through it. Just make sure he's the one doing the leading. That's the key. Oh, you young people, learn it. Learn it. We need you. I salute Brother Whittemore. You young men, we need you. Somebody's going to have to pastor my grandchildren. And I want it to be men of faith that God can do great things with because they put all of their hope in him, not their personality. Say amen. Not their manipulation skills on the platform. Faith. I know he's a man of vision and a man of dreams, but I promise you, Brother Barton in his wildest dreams could have never seen what God would do from Pisgah Forest, North Carolina. Forgive the personal illustration. I wouldn't have even said it if he hadn't. Natalie and Josh could have never in their wildest dreams, God, from their little living room, would do what he's done. They get messages daily. My life has been changed. I was discouraged. I was given up on serving God. And God has used your simple acts of obedience. I'm back serving the Lord again. You gave me hope. I say that to God's glory. Step in the water. Step in the river. Step in the river that he's led you to. I don't care what it don't have to be somebody else's river. When he leads you there, you let him lead you across. Look at the next phrase. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. When Isaiah wrote, in all likelihood spoke and wrote, when he said, when thou passest through the waters, they thought about the Red Sea. When he said, you pass through the rivers, they probably thought about the Jordan. When he said, when thou passest through the fire, it won't burn thee. He's not through with you. I'm glad he parted my Red Sea. And I'm glad he led me through the Jordan and grew my faith. But there's trials out there in the future that I'm going to need him on. And I better anchor some things down. I am so glad for that verse and some of the songs that were sung as I was sitting there, as nervous as I could be. I am thankful my anchor is in heaven. I am as saved as if I'm already there, Brother Stanley. You talked about it all morning. I'm as saved as if I was already there. Now, what's between here and there is what I'm going to let. If it happens, it'll be my fault. If I'm defeated, if I'm overwhelmed by these waves, it'll be my fault, not his, because my position is secure. What I want to preach about for just a few minutes in closing is this. What about those trials you have yet to face? I know the Red Sea was horrible. I know the Jordan was a test. But I'm telling you, their biggest trial was yet to come. The trial of fire. My dad preaches it this way. The trial of your faith. He said God put that definite article in our King James Bible for a reason. Right or wrong, he said, I believe every man, woman, and child, every ministry that knows and loves God is going to have the trial of their faith. You'll experience many, but there'll be one that will shake your world and make you question everything you ever said you believed. Will he be there then? He was for John, the forerunner. The forerunner who paved the way was overwhelmed by doubt. That's right. Yes, sir. Jesus didn't throw him to the trash heap of used to be's. He said, just while the disciples were still in earshot. Oh, by the way, not a greater among men than John the Baptist. Those disciples went, what did he just say? He said, there wasn't a greater man than the one who's taught and preached to us. And they said, you wait till John hears that. You may still encounter. I preach everything I know. It takes me about half an hour and I'm done. I told my church Sunday. I said, God, I can't tell you what he did Sunday. But I told the church, you'd have had to have heard the first message, the Sunday school, a testimony. You'd have had to, y'all know how God weaves everything together. And he did it. And I told, and God had been dealing with me for about 5 days. And then he put the icing on the cake on Sunday. And Brother Adcock, I told the church, I said, he's preparing me personally for something down the road. I'm not trying to impress you. I'll get in the car and wonder if I should have said it. So don't think I'm trying to impress you. Miss Christie, I said to the church, he's preparing me for something that's not going to be pleasant. And I said, I want to pass the test. And I told them, and I'm telling you, pray. Let's pray for each other. These are dark days. They're confusing days. They're strange days. And I don't know what my fiery trial will be, and you don't know. Are you not glad we don't know? I just want to walk with Jesus today. Whatever's coming tomorrow, he'll get me through it. But there was a fiery trial. But here's what I want you to get. We know that the latter part of Isaiah's ministry, and in particular Jeremiah's ministry, those young men that were taken captive into Babylon were children and probably early teens when these men were prophesying. And here's the burden of my heart when I read that phrase, fiery trial. Brother Barton, in all likelihood, obviously I'll have my own, you will, this church will, these people will hear. But in all likelihood, the ones who were hearing this, Brother Jones, it wasn't for them. It was for their children. We read Daniel 3, Daniel 6, Daniel 1. We read that so often that it goes right over our head that three young men got thrown into a fiery furnace because they said, we love God more than we do you. We honor God more than we do the edicts of this world. We read that like it's a play written for our enjoyment. No, it was reality, young ladies. They were challenged by the world around them. Bow to us. Bow to our gods. Bow to our music. And they said, no, we're just going to stay with Jehovah. So here was what God gave me about that part about the fire was simply this. What if the lessons he's taught me from the Red Sea and the Jordan River were to instill faith in my children to get them through the fiery fire furnace they're going to face? Do you know how long it was from the time Isaiah wrote this till those boys got faced with the king and said, bow or you'll burn? About 100 years. About 100 years later was when they faced this test. You're not just preaching for who's here in the auditorium in March of 2021. You're preaching for the next generation and the next generation. And half of us in this room, little less than half, are old enough to remember 40 plus years ago when men preached and instilled things in us that have carried us through these times that we're going through today. Amen. Brother Stanley, they could have never seen the weirdness of 2020. But they didn't have to. They did see how faithful and how good God was. And they lifted Him up. They exalted Him. They followed Him through the trials of their life. And when we face things that they could have never dreamed of, I'm not saying it was harder. I am saying it was stranger. When we face those things, we drew from those lessons that we learned 50, 75, and as the case here, 100 years prior, our forefathers. I love to hear Brother Barton talk about the history of this part of the country and the churches that were planted. Somebody say, you got too many churches there in Western North Carolina. Ask him about that. He'll say that they had to put him every 3 to 5 miles. That was as far as they could get on a Sunday on their horse. Less than 100 years ago. And what'd they do? They held up a standard. They exalted God, and that has been passed. Not maybe not like it should have in some cases, but it's been passed from one generation shall declare thy works to another. And this message on the fire, when those hearers heard that, they didn't have a clue what he's talking about. They didn't have a clue what he's talking about, but they believed it. They said God came through at the Red Sea. God came through at the Jordan. We don't know what he's talking about when he says, when you pass through the fire. Are y'all with me? Pass through the fire? To my knowledge, no one had ever been burned at the stake. Pass through the fire? But they said, we don't know what that means, but if God said it, we believe it. We're going to teach it to our children. And this Red Sea and this Jordan, God was true there. And when we come to the fire, would you turn to Isaiah 28 and I'll be done. Isaiah 28. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. God blesses people for giving attention to His Word. Isaiah 28, 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. I was remiss, Brother McBride, I didn't write down the author's name when the Lord started dealing with me about this passage. And I was reading, studying, praying. It started coming too fast and I was getting help. And I didn't write down who said it. But one author, you know what word he honed in on? Let's read it again. Go to Isaiah 43. I don't want to misread it. Yeah, there it is. Thank you, Lord. Look in the middle of verse number 2 in chapter 43. Passes through the waters. Passes through the rivers. What's he doing through that fire? Here's what one author said. I wish I'd have wrote his name. Shame on me. He said, verse 28, chapter 28, verse 16, those that trust in the Lord will not make haste. He said, they're not running. They're not scurrying. They're not nervous. He said, they're walking. What were those three? Miss Christie, come finish this message. I'm going to go run and hope the door don't lock behind me. What were those three Hebrews doing in the furnace? Walking. Walking. Woo! Walking. That's fire. Oh, you know what? My Sunday school teacher told me. Oh, I remember now. I was 8 years old and he said, when you walk through the fire, it won't burn you. Hey, Shadrach. No. The Jewish names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He said, Hananiah, you know what we're doing? We're walking through the fire. He said, that's what Grandma was talking about. Walking. They that trust in the Lord will not make haste. Quit hurrying and scurrying and trying to dodge all the bullets. No. Here's what they told me when I was a little kid. They said, you're bulletproof till God's through with you. You're fireproof until God's through with you. So I don't know if you're in the fire or if it's yet to come. But he said, you can walk right through it. Here's where we'll start. We'll end where we started. But now. I don't know what you got to face between now and then, but now he'll lead you through the waters, he'll let you cross the river, and he'll walk with you through the fire. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message once again in its entirety, for a free download of this message or a variety of any other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, you can visit the Preaching Channel at WGCRPreaching.net. If you don't have download capabilities, feel free to call and order a CD copy of today's message at 828-884-9427.